we're going to see if we can go to the Rambam and see how the Rambam paskins on the issue. We've deduced that there is a machlokas among the Rishonim regarding the reason for the writing down of the ta'amim, of the traditional reasonings. And this machlokas expresses itself not with regard to the writing down of the ta'am's l'chov, which everybody seems to agree that we need to know the ta'am l'chov, because of the phenomenon of halonas adin, which means to say that every judicial decision which is for conviction cannot be finalized. That's a very important term. Gemar din is a very, very important term. Gemar din is not just a descriptive term that means the end of the din. No, it's an integral part of the process of establishing something which has the halachic status of a viable psak din. The din is very significant over here. The din brings about a change and creates a status, either a status of tzaddik, which is a very important status, because that status functions to protect them from any claim of error, even if there was an error. We don't care. Of course, obviously, unless it was Davashan Stukamodimbo. And also, of course, if it's Lachov, then he now becomes Chayav Misa. And Bezdin is obligated, not just for Shush, but they have an obligation to kill him. All of which can't be done without Gemar Din. No matter how compelling the case is, another fact of great significance which supports my point would be what? We've already learned that Bezdin, Shapaslu Kulam was Lachov. They all, initially, everybody's opinion was Lachov. He's Pata. The person is Pata. So it's interesting. It's an interesting phenomenon. See, that prevents, at least on a descriptive level, that prevents a prohibition of being Gomer the Din Lachov. A Bezdin that acted that way cannot, they don't have a shus, there's no mock there, to be Gomer the Din Lachov. It's a problem of the Gemar Din. The Gemar Din Lachov cannot be arrived at through a trial in which everybody took the position of Chov and there was no debate up there. So, as far as writing down the Tamim Lachov, that's because you can't have a Gemar Din on a Psak Lachov, on a judicial opinion Lachov, unless it was subjected to the process of Halana. So now, if he changes his time, and the time is the essence of the decision, the time is the essence of the Horah. As we said, a person can't just give a Horah. You can't just say, I say Sky. That doesn't mean anything. It's got to be a Horah. There's got to be substance. So now, if he retracts what he said yesterday, he doesn't like what he said yesterday, doesn't make sense to him, rethinks it, comes to a new Horah, Lachov, for a different reason, which makes sense to him, so that's a new Horah Lachov. And you want to be God, Gomer the Din. So that there's no machlokas. That's the reason why you must write down the tam of the chov. You can't just say that he was a machayev. You got to write down the tam lechov, because we have to know on the next day his position and whether his position is based upon the same tam as it was yesterday. If he gets up and says I was machayev yesterday, I'm machayev today. So what's your reason though? What's your tam? And if that time is different than what he said yesterday, so then we take note of that, and you're going to have a new halana. So that there's no machlokas about. The question, of course, is that there's a machlokas. Why? What's the reason for writing down the time l'schus? Interestingly, the positions that we've gone through, Tosis's position. Tosis raised the question as to why, according to Rav, who holds you can't change during Masumata, why that wouldn't be a sufficient reason to write down the time to prevent him from claiming that he was Tovah B'Dovah Shetzukimodimbo. So Tosa said, because that's too far-fetched of a chashash, and the stakes aren't high enough to make it a matter of concern. Because it's just a device that he should try to look to search for schos. So because of that, it's not that much of a concern. What? Because he said, because that's not really matters of life and death. It's not matters of life and death. He could change anyways afterwards. So therefore, the significance of that, the importance of that in terms of the life and death issues, do not warrant the obligation to write down the Tom because of this far-fetched concern that he may claim that he was told by Devash Zukamodimba. Thus, Rashi and Tosfos both agree that if you learn like Rav, then there's not going to be any justification. Even though Rav says that he can't change in the Masu Matan phase, but that fact that he can't change in the Masu Matan phase is not sufficiently significant to warrant writing down the time to preclude the possibilities that he'll claim that he heard, but that is Sukh Modimo. So, therefore, of course, the question remains as to why they accept the fact that this Brisa that we cited about the Shnei Sofer, they do write down the time of the Mazakin, that face value is a question. There's a question on Rav, and does not fit in, cannot be explained in terms of Rav's din itself. That Rav's din itself demanding that in the Masu Matan you can't switch is not sufficient to justify the writing down of the Tom to prevent that kind of a claim. They accept that. If then the Gemara comes up with the answer that it's for a different reason and it really has nothing to do with Hatzalah. It's a separate idea that we need to keep track of the Tomim, lest there be the same Tom from two different Mikros. Then the Gemara goes over to that whole point. That becomes the next issue. What if you have the same time, but it is based upon two different mikros? Does it count as two votes for schus or only one? Okay. So, now, you can go straight to the psak. If you learn like Tosfos, and you reject the idea that Rav's position, that he cannot change during Masu Matan, but he can change in Gemar Din, is not compatible with the Shnei Sofer Hadayonim. So then, Lamaisa, Pshat Halacha is going to be that the reason you're going to require the writing down of the Tom L'Shus, and the reason for the writing down of the Tom L'Shus is going to be actually something which is not going to, which is, doesn't work to the benefit of the Nidam. Strange, because most of the devices, technicalities, etc., are to increase the chances of schus. Here you're doing something which really doesn't increase the chances of schus, it actually could decrease it. Because you may have two people that agree on the same tom, l'schus, but from two different sukkim, and therefore we're going to eliminate one of them. So this process of writing it down can cause damage to the nidam. But what's the difference? Too bad. If that's the requirement of mishpat. So that's going to be the reason that's proffered by Tosfos, Rashi Tosfos. As we said, if you ask the Meiri what the halacha is, he paskins like Rav, we all paskin like Rav, and the reason for writing down the reason for the writing down of the Tom, l'schus, what would he say? According to the Meiri, it would seem that it's two reasons. But it's not primarily because of the problem of two atomim. Excuse me, of one tom from two different sukkim. Because the Miri said the defenders of Rav, the Gemara used that answer to negate the question, to blunt the question. However, he says in truth, the halacha of Rav would be sufficient to warrant the writing down of the Talmud. Because the halacha of Rav is that once he's Mulam Etzchus, he can't be Chozer Mulam Etzchav in Masu Matan. And the writing down of the Talmud is something which assures, which facilitates that. And that's sufficient reason. Now it's interesting, he did not argue with Tosfos. He didn't argue with Tosfos. and say that I'm concerned that he's going to make the switch and claim he was told with Dovash Tukumodimah. No, that because he agreed with Tosis that Chashash is Rachel. You follow? He agrees with him that Chashash is Rachel. It's not warranted. But he says you don't have to come on to this Chashash. You have to ascertain that he will stick to this position. So there's a danger that he might forget. So therefore, you have to write it down. So that tomorrow morning, you'll have the Tom in front of him, he can review it, and he can proceed from there to advocate for Schuss on the basis of the Tom that he established. That is, he'll maintain his Orah. If he would forget it, so then he would drift, and he's no longer a Mazaka, in effect. You want to put it a different way, it's something to guarantee, to ascertain that this Gavra will still be a Mazaka. Once he loses the time, he's no longer a mazaka. From all intents and purposes, he doesn't have a status anymore of being a mazaka. And that's what he means, in fact, that we don't want him to be no to lechov, because so once he's no longer a mazaka, so what's he going to do? All right, he'll be silent. He'll be silent, but he's not involved anymore in the debate. So if he's not involved in the debate, he's just going to be silent, so then he'll just listen now as a neutral listener, and he may pick up a lechov. It seems the Rambam in Perek Shnei Masa, Perek Yud Beis, where he's talking about the second day, Lamachras. And the Mazaka says, I nihu amazaka, umazaka ni bimkomi. I'm the Mazaka, and I continue to be Mazaka. And he says, he has two choices. He could say that I was the Machayev and I'm still Machayev. Or Chazarti, Be'ivani Mazaka. Or that he changed his position, because he could change his position. The fact is that the Mazaka can change his position. Vimto bedavar. Now, if they erred in the matter, v'lo yadu mihem shechayvu oziku. If they don't know, who is mechayvu, who is mezake. I'm sorry, oziku mitam echad. Right. She'enon nechshav and elkiyachad, and four they're only considered one. Kamo shebiarnu, as we've explained. Arei sofrei hadayanim maskirin osam. So then you make recourse to the sofrei hadayanim, the court stenographers, remind them. Sharei kosvin tam shel kol echad v'echad, for they write down the tam of each and every one of them. U maskirin bedino, and then they begin to try him. Now, you really can't infer what the Ram holds over here, because the Ram merely said that in this eventuality, in a situation of confusion, where there's doubt as to who is Mazaka, who is Mechayev, and so on, so then the Sofrei Hadayanim remind them. But we don't know, he's not really telling us what the underlying reason for the Sofrei Hadayanim writing. Is this what they write it for? Because of just this possibility? This confusion might arise? Well, so if you say that the writing down is because of this, that is the writing of the Tam L'Sus, because he does mention that this confusion where the two people said the same Tam. Said the same time from two different sukkim, whatever. So then the Sofrei Hadayanim remind them. Because the Sofrei Hadayanim write down what the person said and what the time is. That's true, it'll certainly be utilized if this problem arises. Once you're writing down the time, l'schus, it's going to be utilized for this purpose. The question is that the underlying reason for writing down the time in the first place? Well, the Meiri would have no problem with this, Rambo. He would say, of course. Because he holds that if they said the same time from two different sukkim, it only counts as one. So if that confusion exists, the Sofrei Hadayanim will clear it up. But he's saying that's not the underlying reason why you write the time. You write the time for according to Rav, because you have to write the time. He maintains that Rav's din itself demands the writing down of the time. Now I'm going to just throw this out as total speculation. It's just a thought that comes to mind. Perhaps there is something we can infer. I'm not sure. I'm going to present it to you. Because the Rambam over here is talking about the second day. What do you do on the second day? And then he brings up the problem that it's the second day, so certain confusions may have arisen. He is concerned about that, certain forgetfulness. And he's listed what they might be. We're not sure who was a Machayev, we're not sure who was a Mezakeh. Let me correct myself. Daniel's correcting me over here. True. What the Rambam is saying over here is, it's one idea. If they made a mistake and they didn't know who were the ones that were Machayev or Mezakeh, because it works both ways. Okay, just like we only count, it's a general idea that if it's the same Tom from two Mikros, we've all been learning it, the Schus. So it only counts as one. The same would be true if it was Lechav. If you have two opinions, Lechav, one Tom from two different Sukkim, it would only be counted as one. Okay, so it's clear that the truth of the matter is that it doesn't matter whether it's Lechav or Leschus. That's just a general principle. But the reason why the Gemara brought it up this way, because the Gemara wasn't concerned about why you have to write down the Tom of the Mechav. And we have another reason, the Alana factor. Well, what's the reason to write down the Tom of the Mezakin would be because of this, the Gemara was saying, would be because of this principle. The point that I was speculating about was that in Perek Yud-Beis Halacha Gimel, the Rambam does not consider the possibility, if they erred, regarding who was Melamed Schus. It's also interesting to note that it seems from this, basically, that the Rambam, if you're going to say anything about the Rambam's position as to why they write down the Talmud, it would seem to be because of this problem. To eliminate the possibility on both sides. To eliminate the possibility of Shnei Talmud. Excuse me, of one Talmud. Of one Talmud. Mishnei, well, whether it be Mishnei Mikros or not. But whatever the Rambam's position on the problem of two Dayanim, saying something for the same reason. Right, that has to be explored. But the only issue he brings up on the second day, the only problem he's concerned with, is this issue. And he doesn't bring up, it doesn't seem that he brings up the what the Rashi and Tosis explained, that the Halana, that if they change their reasons, Lechov, then you have to a new halacha. That's a significant thing. So the only thing I could infer at this point, and again, it's not final, I can't finalize the din yet at this point on the Rambam, is that at this point it just seems that that's the main reason why you have to have the writing down. That's the confusion we're concerned about. So you have to know the tamim of each individual. Because it could be that one will eliminate the other. And it'll only be counted as one, whether it be Lechov, whether it be Leschus. I want you to see if I can make clear what I said yesterday, in terms of how I would explain the Machlokas between the Meiri and Tosfos, and account for Tosfos' position. The general idea is Veshaftuay, David Siduay, that when it comes to Dine, the Fashos, It differs from abstract mishpat per se. It's not just a matter of mishpat. It's a new phenomenon of the yitzilu. So it's a combination of v'shaftu and v'yitzilu. However you want to understand that, we can return to that later. But incorporated into the process are certain mechanisms which are designed for hatzalah. To save it. Now, there are two aspects to this. One, because then this is going to be true, and in any case, where you have a trial. So the way the trial is established, the structure, there are certain defenses, certain opportunities, certain things that you do in order to facilitate a result. You want to set it up in such a way because you want to increase the possibilities to facilitate a result. That's one aspect. But then there's another aspect, and that is to say that the Gemara Din per se is structured. That the very verdict has laws, that the verdict is not valid unless it's with certain types of conditions to it. The verdict, that's something different. For example, the Gemara Din, the Gemara Din of Chov can only be brought about. You can only be Gomer the Din L'Chov on the basis of certain root principles, which are principles of the Tzila. For example, you need a majority of two. For example, you need to have Alana. That's Halacha in the very Gemara Din. So that's different. That's a different category. For one could have one without the other. One could say that the trial is structured to give the person greater opportunities to defend himself. We're going to give the defenders a greater chance. We're going to handicap the accusers, so to speak. But that's it. Then the result, when it comes to the result, when it comes to the Gemara, then that's whatever happens, happens. You see, you can have one without the other. But you see, it's not just a matter of structuring the conduct of the trial in such a way to facilitate a certain result, but it's in the very essence of the result itself. It's halacha and being gomer the din. So that's, in my opinion, what Tosis means. That the issues which pertain to Gemara Din, when we talk about writing down, the mechanism of Ksivas Atanim is what we're talking about, the writing down, that the chi of there is because it's a matter, it has to pertain to this, to the Ptur, to the actual status. We're talking about the final status. We're talking about Gemara Din. Verdict. Issues of verdict, they have to be, those are the ones that you must write down the Tom. And there it doesn't matter what the chashash is. Because he's admitting that this is a far-fetched chashash, that somebody's going to claim that he made such a mistake. But that's only going to be, it's only necessary to protect against that because that's part of the verdict. That is to say that once you have a hora, so to speak, you have a mazaka, someone who offers an opinion for Sfus, according to the position that argues with Rav, right? So that, you have to be Gomer right away. You have to be Gomer the Din, because he can't change. That's exactly what he's saying. By writing it down, you're being Gomer the Din. Why are you being Gomer the Din? Because he can't change. So what? So you have to write it down. That's Gemara Din. That's Gemara Din L'Sfus. It doesn't matter. You'll say, so what if I don't write that? No, because if you don't write it down, it's lacking in Gemara. That's the point. I didn't mention it this way yesterday. If you don't write it down at that point in time, so there's an element of negligence. That's not my point, though. Obviously, it's negligence. Your failure to do so is consequential to the Ptur or Chiv of the Gavra. You must write down those things that are consequential to the Gemar Din, L'chov or L'schus of the Nidon. So now, if you maintain, that as soon as the Gavra is Malamed Schus, it can't be rescinded. So what are you obligated to do? Step in there and be Gomer the Din L'schus. How are you Gomer the Din L'schus? By writing it down. If you don't write it down, you weren't Gomer the L'schus because there's a possibility that he can remove it, he can retract it. By claiming that he was told by Dosha to the Modibo. That's why you got to write it down. All right. Having said that, it would seem to me that the position of the Meiri is rather that the mechanism of Ksivas Atam is not restricted just to those things that are life and death, that are part of the Hitzilu factor which determines the validity of the Gemar Din. But it's within the entire procedure of Yitzilu, in the general. That is to say that all those things that were enacted by the Torah for the sake of defense, all those things that are structural matters and how to conduct the trial, If it's for the sake of the defense, then they have to be implemented. It's part of their implementation of the law itself. That is, so if there's a law that a malameg the eschus can't be choser a malameg chov, then it's only for the deliberation, only for the masa matan. So really, it's halach in procedure. It's not halach in psak din. It's not part of the psak din. It doesn't matter according to him, because you've got to fulfill. You have to mekayim the objective. According to him, you have to utilize the sofer adon to be mekayim the objective, and the objective is going to be enhanced by writing down the Talmud. So that's his position. He doesn't require that the writing, the utilization of the mechanism, is only because of a chashash that might affect the actual tzalah of the nidah, the gemara din. No. It's part of the whole procedure. Anything which is being done for the sake of the tzilu, even if it's only a procedural matter, which increases the chances, so that you have to fulfill the kiyum. How do you fulfill the kiyum? By writing it down. It's better. It's obviously better. That's what he holds. He holds it's a part of the general machayev of the tzilu.